How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
What's up, Faithful? You're listening to another episode of the 49ers Web Zone No Huddle Podcast, a part of the Odyssey Network. I'm Brian Rennick. He's Al Sacco. And we are joined by, I got to say, probably our favorite guest, our favorite recurring guest, if you will. It's John Chapman of 49ers Rush. John, how are you feeling knowing that you get to go to Buffalo this weekend?
Man, it's up and down. Obviously, I am not built for the snow. Let's just be very honest. I'm a Texas boy, but I have purchased multiple attire to just bundle up this game. So I'm super excited about that. Buffalo's always been one of those places I want to go just because I am attracted to the fan base and the tailgate and the cold climate. Like, it's just cool. So to visit it, I'm going to be all right with it. So I'm excited. I get to hang out with the man, Al. Are you kidding me?
I'm gonna be there. Buffalo's a great town, man. My wife is from Buffalo, so we get a lot of roots there. It's a lot of fun. The food is unbelievable. You got to get roast beef on Weck. You got to get some wings, Anchor Bar, Duff's. Duff's is probably my favorite that I've had in Buffalo.
Okay.
But you got to do the food.
This is good to know. This is good to know.
Dude, I'll let you know everything you need to know when I'm there. But yeah, so tell them about where you're going to be on Saturday. And because here's the thing with John. If I know a lot of you guys are familiar with John Chapman, he's huge with 49ers content, but what he does for the fans with these 49er Rush events and what this, just tell everybody what it is and what's happening this weekend. It's amazing.
Well, like I said, I was a Texas dude that was a diehard Niner fan since I was 9 years old. And so whenever I was still coaching back in Texas, but I would like go to these Niner games by myself, but I didn't have anybody to like go with. So I just fly across the country to a Niners game. I'd show up with a smile and a six pack and make friends and what it was. And so like that kind of expanded, started the podcast about 8 years ago. And people are like, dude, can we come party with you? So a lot of the listeners want to come to a game, but they're coming by themselves. So we just were able to create a space where it's like, look, man, we're going into a city, Buffalo. We rent out venues and we rent out these giant tailgate spaces. And we just try to create a place for Niners fans to get together in enemy territory. And now we've done, I don't know, 40 plus of these events, and I'm more of an event planner than I am a podcaster, but that's okay. So Saturday in Buffalo, the day before the game, we're going to be at the Rec Room in Buffalo from 2 to 6 PM. We do trivia competitions. Kids get in free all the time with a ticketed adult. We give out all kinds of stuff. I literally bring thousands of dollars of merchandise and just give it away. Because I think I became a fan because of a jersey and I want to extend that. And you walk away from an event with something, it just changes your attitude, even if your team perhaps isn't that good that year. no specifics mentioned, but Saturday, Rec Room, 2 to 6 p.m. And then we have a tailgate set up just one block northwest of the stadium. Get your tickets, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All you can eat, all you can drink, premium liquor, everything included. You pay the price, you get in, you win stuff, you meet 49ers fans. It's going to be incredible. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. So hope to see you. Or if you know anybody, go to Buffalo. Share the information. Say, hey, go party with this rosy cheek guy in the cold. They're going to be even more red the day of. I can guarantee you that.
It's going to be – it's a high of 32, I think I saw on Sunday. You never know Orchard Park what's going to happen. Ooh. It's going to be nighttime. It's going to be cold, man. Like that Buffalo cold, that goes through your bones, dude. Yeah. Like it's going to hit you different.
Why do your games start so late? The game kicks off at 8:30. That's so late. That's late.
It's because it's a Sunday, night game.
It's different for me. So, like, my Sundays, you guys are done with football at what, 8:30? And yeah. Like, you're ready? Yeah. Like, I'm the up game's till midnight. Over.
Yeah.
I'm like, so, I mean, 1 o'clock from till midnight, I'm watching football. And now, like, I always say, like, my wife can't get mad at me because technically it's a job for me right now. So,
that's what's up.
I'm going to milk it for as long as I can. But yeah, it's different, man. It's late nights on Sundays and Mondays too. I mean, you're watching games till midnight Sunday and Monday, and then you got to function the next day. So anyway,
I enjoy being a West Coast football watcher. I
can imagine. I wouldn't mind getting up early. It's like when the London games are on here. You just get up at 9 a.m, whatever it is, and you're good to go for the day. You know, I'd be all about that. And it's nice outside. It's not depressing like it is on the East Coast. John, you're going to find out. You're just going to leave me, Al. I'm so sad.
Find out.
I was here for 48 hours, and I'm so sad. It was gray for 48 hours straight. You're gonna see what it's all about.
That's all right. Bring it on.
We were ending the show yesterday. We said you were going to come on. And I'm like, because our show yesterday was not positive. But I mean, not even a little bit. So we said, John's coming on, and he's usually very optimistic. So we want to do sort of a state of the 49ers thing and just find out where you are in terms of the season. In the future, are you optimistic? Are you miserable? Are you somewhere in between? Where are you right now?
For the year that we're currently in is rough. There's no doubt about it. And there's, you know, a myriad of issues that's being displayed across wherever. Now, if and this is the internal turmoil that I go through on the regular is, okay, things suck. How do we perhaps not suck in the near future? Is this year over? Is it mock draft time? I remember doing mock drafts in October with Chip Kelly and Tom Sula. Yeah. Like it was just like we couldn't even make it out of October. And so I refuse to do a mock draft in November. I don't care how bad it is. I'm going to make it through November. Then after that, December, we'll see. But let's be honest. You look at the standings. The 49ers have the benefit of being in the worst division in the NFL. You are one game out of the first place. One game. Now, you have to have some things go your way. The good news is nobody has a strong division record in the NFC West. Nobody has a strong conference record in the NFC West. The tiebreakers are not against you. So, yes, you have to win games. Yes, the schedule is harder than all three of your opponents. But if you go 5-1, you're in the playoffs. You're in the playoffs. If you go 4-2, you might be in the playoffs. You go 3-3, yeah, you're not making it. So there's still an opportunity to make this season matter. You get into the dance, anything could happen. Look at the Giants, their two Super Bowl. Like, you get in, weird things happen, period. But the biggest hindrance that I see and my most negative thing is the poor coaching in all three phases of the game. That is a killer. The staying with guys like Jake Brendel, who is just – the worst center in the NFL by a long shot, but we won't allow anybody else to take snaps. Aaron Banks, worst. He's played as bad as he could possibly be. And there's just so many issues on the offense, defense. Nick Sorensen, I have no confidence in. You say I'm always optimistic. I'm as out on Nick Sorensen and Brian Schneider, the special teams coordinator, as a human being could possibly be. Like, done. D-U-N. There's no room for those guys.
Do you put blame on Brandon Staley? I mean, do you think he's part of this, or?
I want to, but all that we know, and maybe you guys know better than me, that's very low bar. Brandon Staley, I know for sure he's in charge of turnovers. Like, that's the only thing that we know for sure. We're top eight. We're top eight in turnovers forced as a defense. So like one of our only top 10 metrics as a defensive unit, Brandon Staley is attributed to. I don't know what his role is game day. It's been asked several times. Nobody answers.
Big secret.
Don't know. I don't know. But I could tell you from, you know, I was at every single training camp practice this year. Brandon Staley was way more hands-on than Nick Sorensen ever dreamt about. First coaches out every single day of practice was Brandon Staley working with the corners, Daniel Bullock's working with the safeties, and then Kucerik would be out there sometimes. But actually, KJ Wright, who's the assistant linebacker coach, was with Seattle for a long time. Those were the first three defensive coaches out there. And then Nick Sorensen would show up sometimes with his camouflage hoodie in the middle of the summer and his mullet sticking out. And he was always by himself with his play sheet. Like, not active, not hands-on. You see his personality in press conferences. I joke around and call him Pet Rock. That's the personality he has. And again, like, people say I'm positive. I'm not positive about this guy. I'm really, really not. And you look at the busted coverages. You look at the missed tackles. You look at the putting Isaac Yiadom in a cover three press in a two-minute drill against the fastest player on their team, Christian Watson, and watch him get dusted. You're putting these players in constant positions to not be successful. Devondre Campbell, come on, man. Everybody can see D Winters is better. It's just period after period after period. What did you do to Jair Brown, who was a promising player? Now he's – I have no clue why he's getting so many snaps. Fred Warner went from defensive player of the year to just a guy.
Thank you, no, the Casio G-Shock. Thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff. And there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and Kobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100, with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
Back in 1980, 70% of clothing worn by Americans was made by Americans. Today, it's 2%. And the reason is simple. It's cheaper to make things overseas. But that doesn't change the fact that 2% of textile manufacturers have refused to give up on this country. And those companies deserve to be congratulated. I'm talking about companies like American Giant. American Giant controls every link in their supply chain, and that matters. Because when you buy from American Giant, you create jobs for people in factory towns all across this country. Look, I get it. Nobody wants a lecture. But if you want to see more companies make more things in this country, you got to support the companies who are already doing that very thing. This holiday, check out the clothing at American-Giant.com. Flannels, hoodies, t-shirts, and jeans made to last a lifetime. Support the 2% who are still making it here at American-Giant.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sail good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
It's finally here.
Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch Giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
That goes on coaching to me.
I wonder, Fred Warner is a great jumping off point, because the first three games of the year, and you're like, well, this guy is not only the best player on the 49ers, but he's the best defensive player in the NFL. And then it feels like he just fell off. And I'm wondering if that is Fred just taking too much on his shoulders and trying to be Superman, because he knows that this defense isn't playing as well as we are, you know, accustomed to. And so he is oftentimes out of position or just trying to do too much. And it just has completely washed his game out. I don't know. I just don't know what to expect week to week from this defense, because I mean, if you look at the raw stats, right. And a lot of times you get these rankings. And raw stats wise, this defense has been in the top half of the NFL for most of the season. But we've seen the meltdowns in the last 2 minutes of games, things of that nature. That, I think, goes directly on the coordinator. But I mean, do you feel like they're opening the practice window for Dre Greenlaw this week, whether or not he ends up playing for them this season or not? We aren't going to know. But do you feel like just having him back can be something that could help this defense moving forward? Because if it's not, I don't see how we expect it to get better.
Yeah, two things. First off, Fred Warner, it's not as bad as people are making it out to be. It's not good, okay? And I think that's twofold. Number one, he was great till the ankle injury. He played through it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so there were some rough games there. He's coming off of his worst game ever, but even this game wasn't all terrible. It really, really wasn't. One of the best plays Fred had all season. We're running a double mug pressure, a simulated pressure, where Campbell and Warner are lined up at the A gap on third and long. We do an inverted Tampa 2. So he has to go from the line of scrimmage A gap, hightail it down the middle seam of the field.
Carried Christian Watson, right?
Yeah, Christian Watson on one play, he did it, and he did it to Jaden Reed, both on skinny posts. And he was right there. Like, those are unbelievable. I started a year and a half ago, I started saying, I believe Fred Warner's the best coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL. Like, I think that he has changed the game. And that has been maintained even in these bad games. Everybody talks about missed tackles. He has a better tackle rate than he did last year or the year before. So it just has, it's come in clumps, right? He just had four or five missed tackles in one game. So that's huge, but he has to overcompensate for Devondre Campbell, who is never where he's supposed to be. Never in the run game. He's just not
having Dre Greenlaw it makes a huge difference. You know, he's a lot of times he's kind of the heart and soul of the defense, the way he comes up, fires up, and he's fired up and he's flying around, and they feed off of that. And they haven't had that. Where I worry about with guys like, and look, I still think Warner, he hasn't played great lately, but Brian, like you said, he was defensive player of the year, maybe the first month of the season. So we know how great he is and how great he can be. He's never missed a game in his career. Where I start to worry about these Niners and the Avengers that they have, eventually you get old, man. And yeah, you're saying, well, Warner's 28 and Debo's 28, but they have like a whole other season of playoff games. They've played a lot of football the last three years, and the last 5 years when you go back to 2019. So these guys eventually, and Kittle too, as great as he's been playing, it's going to happen. These guys are going to, did Fred miss a game?
He missed one game. I think it was against the Vikings, I think, 3 years ago. It was the first year.
2021? Okay, because he did 16 in 2021. Was that the first year they played 17
games?
That's
the first year we went. I misspoke on that one, and somebody got me. They got me.
He's played 109 of 110 games.
It was Tommy. Tommy in the chat. I see him over there.
Tommy in the chat. Yeah, thanks, Tommy, for correcting
me. He don't let anything go. He'll be mean. Be nice, Tommy.
Good for Tommy. but anyway, these guys, like, eventually they're going to get old. And I think you're starting to see that a little bit right now. And that doesn't mean they're going to fall off a cliff, but eventually you go from superhuman to really good to a little bit less than really good. And it's just going to happen. And that's why I just feel like they missed their window last year. This was bound to happen. It was, you're bound to have injuries. You were bound to have guys get old. You haven't drafted for shit three of the last 3 years or so, really. I mean, we know we like this draft, but okay, John, I want to ask you this. I've been talking about this draft and it's a very good draft, right? Pearsall hasn't done anything lately, past couple of games, but you know, we like Green, we like Pooney, we like Mustafa, but the Niners are built on Hall of Fame type players, right? Like blue chip dudes. There's like 9 or 10 blue chip dudes on this team. Do you think any of the guys they drafted, well, I think they're going to be starters, a lot of them. Are they blue chip dudes? Are they carry the team type dudes? I don't know. And that's why I think moving forward, as these guys get older, who are your blue chippers? Who's going to carry the torch? I just think they look like a very mid team moving forward.
Yeah, there's a lot of down. The roster's down. And I think the 49ers are caught up in this area where the poor drafting from the past is starting to hurt you. The good news is The new cycle has started, right? So the Trey Lance trade, whatever, you still got Brock Purdy, all that stuff. Like the 49ers, as long as this is going to upset some people, I truly believe this. If you have a quality coach and you have a quality quarterback, then you're involved. Like you're involved. And you know, everybody wants to talk about, well, championship window, all that stuff. No. You just got to get in the playoffs. You just got to get in the playoffs. If you're in the playoffs, then it's opened. Are you the favorites every game? Yeah, that was rare. Going two seasons without being, you know, an underdog from Vegas one time. That's weird as hell. I don't know if that's ever happened. And yeah, we didn't win it. But as long as you have Purdy or another top 10-ish quarterback and Kyle Shanahan, I truly do believe that this team will be competitive. And I know somebody's listening or watching it. They're going, well, why aren't we competitive right now? Yeah, you're one game out. You've been in 6 one-score games. You've won 2 of those. You're 2-4 in those games. You get a kicker that could make a field goal. Now you're 3-3. Now you're tied for first place. The margin of error in the NFL is so small. And whenever you have guys like Jake Brindle that are just playing so awful, and Campbell and Jair Brown and these guys, that's going to cost you. Now, you talk about blue chippers. Let's just look at this draft. Blue chipper means you could be the best of your position. Let's just say top 5.
Top 2 or 3, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
You have to have the athleticism, the instincts, and the drive. Okay? So who could have the athleticism of the guys that we did? I don't think Pearsall could be that guy. I love Pearsall. I'm not saying the first round draft value was bad. I'm saying the first round draft value for the 49ers to not have them have a catch in back-to-back games when you have all the D-line and O-line issues was a terrible draft pick. Maybe he becomes a pro bowler, but Pearsall didn't have the speed or athleticism or whatever, I think, to be an all-pro player. That's not a knock on him. He's a back end of the first round pick. We'll see what happens. Now, Renardo Green, yes, he has the athleticism. Can he stay healthy? He's had 4 games he's been knocked out of the game, small nagging injuries, but that's a concern. I think Dominique Pooney and Malik Mustafa have the athleticism, the upside, and the consistent play already as a rookie. That's 2 blue chip players. You get 2 blue chippers out of a draft, you're fine. Like, that is awesome. So I think that it's there. I'm pretty much out on Garrido. He has more fumbles than gotten past the 30-yard line on kickoff returns on the season. Maybe something comes with that, but there's just some issues there. We miss on running backs. Jacob Cowan, we'll see. They don't trust him. Tato Bethune, great run defender, but no. Maybe if it was the 1970s, Tatum Bethune. But you got a chance for 2. Tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm misspeaking, because if you guys disagree, this is my take on those players. I think you have 2 potential blue chippers, with Renardo Green being a maybe. He's a maybe. Can he stay healthy? He just got toasted coming off his worst game. It was a really bad game too. Run, pass, man, zone. I mean, he went 0-3. He was like in the Devondre Campbell world of just bad games. So that's kind of how I see it. And if you get 2 blue chippers, that's a great draft.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue that you missed anybody when it comes to, you know, this draft. You know, Pooney looks like he could be an all-pro at guard. You know, he had obviously his worst game on Sunday. but mainly that worst game was two penalties. So again, it wasn't necessarily his worst game in that, you know, he allowed a ton of pressure or anything like that. The problem on Sunday was Jake Brendel and Aaron Banks just continued to get abused, play in and play out, which is why the 49ers couldn't run the ball at all. They were a black hole on Sunday, and they continue to be a black hole. And the problem is that now with Feliciano back on IR, there's really nobody that you could point to be like, all right, well, let's sub Brendel out for, I mean, if Nick Sakel showed anything, I feel like Brendel would be subbed out already. And so there really isn't an option there. Now, maybe you try Burford in for Banks, just say, hey, Banks is, you know, banged up or whatever. I think he played a full game at left guard this season, Burford, and he looked a lot better than he ever did at right guard, which Agreed. Could mean that just the left side of the line is a better option for him. But that's the issue. That's the biggest issue. And ultimately, that's what's going to really, to me, whether they make the playoffs or not, even if they go on a run and then make it to the Super Bowl, if you're playing Kansas City, Chris Jones is going to own you. We already know that. Mm-hmm. So to me, those two positions are what's going to hold this team back this season.
Factually correct. And even when Banks went out, they actually put in Ben Bartsch this past week. He got three series. He was better than Banks. And if Sakel's so bad, I don't care. You mean to tell me Sakel, who he's not great, but there's upside there. There is upside there. You saw it in the preseason. He's a great, phenomenal run blocker. Like, it's just pass pro's the issue. Well, guess what? Your center is currently the 38th out of 38 qualifying centers in pass protection. Sakel can't be that bad. He can't be. And if he is, let's find out. And Drake Nugent on the practice squad, let's find out. We know how bad. We know how bad. 64 gave up twice on two fumbled plays. He sat there and watched the ball and didn't even take a step towards the fumble. He looked down at the ball, and not even Cam Newton effort. Like,
I saw you posted that. Yeah.
The film don't lie. And it's not new. It's not new. It is not new.
And those coaches see it. Kyle Shanahan sees it. Chris Furster sees it. That's what I don't understand. It just, you know, the definition of insanity, right?
Stubborn, man.
But so why?
I want to play
about what does he give you? That's the thing. And nobody asks.
They say consistency, and well, we like how consistent it's been and whatever. Well, then why do you lead the NFL in offensive line penalties? Like, consistency is good. Like, okay, Mac Brown, I'm a Longhorn. Mac Brown used to always talk about, say, like, well, at least we're young. Yeah, but if you're young and bad, that's not something to build on. Where at least we're consistent. Yeah, but if you're consistently bad and you're consistently having error, that's not a good thing. You're consistent at the wrong thing. And so maybe youth isn't that bad of a thing. Oh, but he calls out the protection so well. He doesn't do it right. He doesn't do it consistently well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I know I'm barking up the wrong tree here, but
I want to play devil's advocate a little bit, going back to the draft thing we were talking about. And tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if you guys disagree. But you mentioned, John, guys you think can be blue chippers. So we have a safety. We have a guard, maybe a corner. When I look at how the Niners are built, okay, their blue chippers are dudes at premium positions or dudes who have elevated their position to be the best in the game. And I'll give you examples. So your left tackle is a blue chipper, Trent Williams. Your tight end's a blue chipper. He's got the ball in his hands. George Kittle. Debo has had times where he's played like a blue chipper. Ayuk has had times where he's played like a blue chipper. McCaffrey's a blue chipper. These are guys who affect the game with the ball in their hands. You look at the defensive side of the ball. Nick Bosa, pass rusher, blue chipper. Eric Armstead, for as much as people get frustrated with him, he played at a blue chip level a lot of the times for the Niners. May not have showed up in the statistics, but he could dominate. Defensive line. Fred Warner, you may not say an off-ball linebacker is a premium position, but he makes it a premium position because he's, like you said, he may be one of the best we've ever seen. So when I look at the drafts and I go back to 2020, 2021, you got Brock, you got Lenore. If Lenore is a shutdown corner, that was a great pick. You got those two dudes. Where's the impact at premium positions other than that? That's been my point with this. When people say, well, Al, you know, they had a good draft or they're going to be fine. When you look at the guys that are getting older or the guys that they're losing, they haven't replaced or don't have anyone to replace those guys. They don't have another wide receiver where you're like, holy shit. Like this dude's a stud. There's nobody behind Kittle. There's not another offensive lineman where you're like, this guy is going to anchor the offensive line. There's not another pass rusher that scares anybody. You know, so those sort of things are, well, yeah, okay, well, we got a safety who could be really good. Okay, well, how many safeties have really impacted the game that much in the last 20 years? Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, yeah. They're just, it's not a premium position. And the same thing with Pooney. Yeah, I think he could be, I think he can be a 10-year Pro Bowler for this team, but how much of a premium are guards? So that's just kind of where I am with it. I don't disagree with what anyone said. They're I think they're going to be good players and starters, but where are the blue chip guys at premium positions in the next 3-4 years? I guess that's why I'm worried.
I want to say this. I think everybody's always like, well, Shanahan doesn't adjust. He doesn't learn. I disagree with that statement. I think sometimes he learns in a bad way. There were the 49ers 2019 draft and before, and there were the 29ers 2020 draft and after. Yes. Where you built through the trenches, you built through premium positions, all first and second round picks were D-line, O-line. That's just what you did. And it worked. And then they got to the Super Bowl and they said, okay, now let's just replace what we're losing and then we're going to be fine. And so after that point, it was just, okay, what do we need now? What's the position we need to fill now? Mm-hmm. And that has been an incorrect way to build a team. And you see it evidenced in the offensive line and defensive line that we're currently rostering because you just haven't, we didn't draft one defensive lineman this year. You had 9 picks. You didn't draft one D lineman. And now you look at our depth and everybody's like, well, our D line's not as good as anymore. Well, yeah.
You haven't drafted years.
You haven't touched it. And so that is a major issue. Now we have 11 picks. The 49ers have 11 picks next year. Currently you're picking 18th in the draft. I think 19th actually after the Monday Night Football game, but 19th around that area currently. So whatever, if you think no chance at playoffs or you think we're going to win it all, adjust accordingly. You have to build in the trenches. And we were staring. Creed Humphrey was on the board. We passed him over 3 times. Zach Frazier was on the board. We passed him over 2 times. Like, no, just once on, Zach Frazier, center that went to the Steelers. Now they're dominating the trenches. But like, there have been studs that are just perfect scheme fits. The Niners have met with, makes so much sense. And they're just like, we just played Zach Tom, who I think is a Pro Bowl right tackle. He went in the 4th round out of Wake Forest. We drafted literally in 20 picks before him. We drafted Danny Gray, Ty Davis Price, and Spencer Burford. Like, perfect scheme fit. The evaluation was smooth, and like 2 of those guys aren't even on a roster. And the other one, like, there's opportunities here. You could play this game with any draft, whatever, but the positions, this is why I'm so mad about the Ricky Pearsall thing. I'm not mad at Ricky Pearsall. I'm not mad at that at all. But if you saw that, man, we have to spend a 1st-round pick on this, and then you lose your number one wide receiver, and then you don't let them have catches in back-to-back games. Such a misuse of funds. What are you? You're just throwing premium draft picks away. Now you can play. Well, who would you have drafted? There's a lot of stud defensive linemen that went during that time. Not offensive linemen or Zach Frazier, but just come on. Why are we wasting 1st-round picks on somebody that gets 0 catches in back-to-back games? That's not a Pearsall critique. It's a why are we building this way critique.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag, Use promo code 49ERS49ERS or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out. Trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Well, and I think that goes back to Shanahan's stubbornness in that he is not, for whatever reason, he cannot recognize the fall off of Deebo Samuel. He still thinks that Deebo Samuel is 2021 Deebo Samuel and game plans accordingly, which is insanity to me. And you know, the thing is Pearsall would play, he wouldn't play X, you know, he'd play Z like Deebo. And so I think that's part of the reason why Pearsall's not getting a lot of run is because he continues to run Deebo out there. I would love to see, I would love to see 21 personnel where it's Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall and not Deebo Samuel. Deebo's on the friggin' sideline because he's not showing or giving you anything anymore, but you continue to try and feed him. Again, just the definition of insanity. So I think that's part of the reason why Pearsall isn't getting a lot of run, because I don't think he, you know, they're not putting him at X, you know, and he's arguably a glorified slot receiver. And they're not even putting him in that position. So it's like, I don't know what the plan was with Ricky Pearsall. But I agree with you. Like even that pick, I was like, there were still players on the board. Like, I don't know, arguably one of the best nickel corners in the NFL in Philadelphia now. I actually said when they drafted Ricky Pearsall, I texted my buddy Tim and I was like, had they picked the wrong white guy? Right. Because, he was still on the board. So I'm like, I just, some of the decisions that they make, like you said, just don't make a whole lot of sense in terms of roster building.
Yeah.
Well, and they went all in on, they tried to run it back with older players and Kyle, you mentioned Deebo, look at what he's doing with McCaffrey. I mean, talk about trying to make something happen that isn't, instead of easing him in or, you know, just finding spots for him until he's himself. If he's ever himself again, he just, you know, made him the centerpiece of the offense, and he has not been McCaffrey, and they've struggled maybe because of it. And he doesn't want to, for whatever reason, doesn't want to give Jordan Mason the ball. And we're not saying play Jordan Mason over McCaffrey or give Jordan Mason 15 carries and McCaffrey 5, but just get them on the field together. Get Mason some touches. Mason's made an impact when he's touched the ball. I think he's got runs of 5, 8, 5, and 16 before garbage time last game. So he had been running hard. And when, especially in a game where you're run him in between the tackles, wear the defense down a little bit, then maybe McCaffrey can pop one. Maybe he can get some space when you're doing that with Mason. So yeah, he's been really hard headed. I don't really understand. They can't run
between the tackles because Banks and Brendel suck.
But like the biggest thing is the three biggest runs against the Packers were all inside the tackles. All of them were. The three biggest runs. And so, I don't know if you guys can put James's super chat comment back up there, because I think this is interesting to me. But like the way teams are stopping the 49ers when CMC are in, they're doing a double wide nine, sometimes five defensive line front. They're loading up on the outside and stacking their backers. So there are several times where after we do our double motions and all that stuff, there's three guys in the A and B gaps, like combined. And so, like, that's four gaps, three players. You can run there. Teams are taking away the outside toss, the jet sweep, all the screen plays, and all that stuff. So run it in the middle. And so, like, it is there. Yeah, our interior offensive line's not blocking well. But the numbers say run it there. And that's not CMC's best, but his two best runs were up the middle. And James, his question, right? Bigger crime, leaving Mason on the sideline or letting Brendel tank the offensive line? The difference for me is Mason – you're taking Mason out for CMC, who is great, even though he's not himself. We don't know with Brendel, but we know Brendel can't be good. Like, we know that. So I think Brendel is the biggest issue, because when Mason's not out there, you still have CMC in the pass game and blitz pickup and all that stuff. Jake Brindle, you're just getting no positives. There's no positive there. So that's that. I think that's the bigger crime personally.
And you think about Kyle. So what's one of the first moves he made when he got here? Weston Richburg, prioritized center. Now he got hurt and didn't work out, but then they bring in, well, we're going to bring in Alex Mack for a year because I need a good center in my offense. And he's had Alex Mack in other years and he's always had a good center. And then I feel like after Mack, they were just like, eh, Brindle's good enough. And he hasn't been. He's been a replaceable level center, you know, for 3 years. And I always point to those. Look, they didn't lose the Super Bowl just because of interior line play, mm-hmm. but it was a part of it. It's because Chris Jones ate your lunch in two Super Bowls. Yep. So, and they just, especially now with a smaller quarterback, Brian, we talked the whole offseason. Are they going to prioritize the interior like the Saints yeah. did or whatever? And they just have yeah. it. It's been really strange.
You know, Chris, I think this goes back to Chris Forster, and I think a larger critique of Shanahan surrounding himself with yes men. Mm-hmm. You remember Forster had that, I love Chris Forster's press conferences, where he's like, oh, well, if you just get all these offensive linemen that are right at average or right at that line, they don't have to be better than the line. They just be right at the line. That's enough. And we do run a very offensive line-friendly scheme. We do. The 49ers run one of the most friendly offensive line schemes in the NFL. But I would argue our evaluations have suffered because Jake Brindle, Aaron Banks, Colton McKivitz are below the line. And so maybe Forster's right, where if you did have five guys at that line, you'd be great. We don't. I think we have two quality offensive linemen, Trent mm-hmm. Williams, Dominique Pooney. That's it. And even Jalen Moore. Jalen Moore played really good. It was one game.
He played his ass off.
He played really well.
Yeah.
And so, like, but the interior, man, you just got wrecked. You got wrecked yeah. the whole game. The whole game.
And I feel like if you look at all these games where the 49ers have struggled to run the ball, it is against teams that have stout interior defensive linemen. Yeah. Like the Packers, like the Seahawks the previous week. And yeah. then, you know, Tampa Bay with Vita Vea. And there's somebody early on in the season. I can't remember. Oh, the Vikings. Right. Anytime you see that they struggle to run the ball, it is against teams that have good interior defensive linemen. And so that is directly related to your lack of talent on the interior of your offensive line.
Right.
And you just have to address it. You have to address it. And they have it outside of Dominique Pooney, which, hey, kudos. Great pick. You know, give them their mm-hmm. kudos. But where has that been previous seasons?
Yeah. It's rough. And, you know, Buddy, appreciate Buddy on the super chat. He says, thoughts on Drake Nugent. Drake Nugent's cop is Jake Brindle, but he's 23 and not 32 years old. So, like, does he have an elite athletic profile? He does not. However, he was really good. He looked great in the preseason. He looked great out there in training camp. And you're hoping he develops into a backup caliber type guy. It's a low ceiling, but I would take that right now. If I had one personnel, if you said John Chapman, you get to do one thing with the Niners, what are you going to do, man? Let's get a new center. Like, let mm-hmm. any Stakel, let Drake Nugent, move Spencer Burford, don't give a damn. We know it's not working. Let's try something. I wish they would have done it the bye week. They didn't. I think they hoped Feliciano would come back. Father Time undefeated, and so we missed that window. But man, we know 64 ain't it.
Yeah, and Feliciano, I mean, he's 32 as well, right? You know, he would have been a one-year Band-Aid fix. They have to fix this stuff long-term. And I just don't know if nobody's calling for Kyle's head here, but no. We've said Kyle's had a bad year. That doesn't mean I don't want to see him come back next year and have a better year. I do, because he's got, you know, he's proved that he's a very good head coach. But also, he's stubborn. Like, yeah. I want to see this year if he is going to say, like, you know what? All right. Some of this stuff ain't working, and we're getting old. So we have to figure out a way now to get into this next window and start getting some impact guys and maybe move on from guys that, look, I want to battle with and we had a lot of success with and I don't want to. But what was it? Bill Walsh, who always said better to get rid of a guy a year earlier than a year late. So, yeah. You know, that's kind of where I feel like they are right now. And even with Debo, Brian, you said, unless he really has a big second half of the season and they need a receiver next year because God knows when Ayuk is coming back. Gotcha. Might be better off going elsewhere.
It's all we do. It's all we do. Draft wide receivers. Ah, it drives me nuts.
But that's the thing, is it can't be a drafted wide receiver because Kyle Shanahan won't play him. So yeah. It's, yeah, you they're going to have to bring – they're literally either going to have to keep Debo, which I imagine is what happens, right? Because really the only way to get rid of him and benefit the team is a post June 1 designation cut, which really doesn't benefit the team for 2025 because they won't get that $10 million that will give them until after June 1st. Again, not being able to utilize it to bring other players in. But I don't, because of the restructure, like they could trade him, right? And they would save $1 million, but they would, I don't think they'd get better than a fifth round pick. And I think as fans, we value Debo a lot lower now than Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch do. Again, I think, I don't know if it's out of loyalty or whatever the case may be, fondness, I don't know. But for whatever reason, they're not seeing what fans are seeing. But you're right, Al. Ayuk is not going to be back until midseason at the earliest next year, based on the severity of that knee injury.
He's used to not being at training camp now.
Also true. But it's not going to be a drafted wide receiver because, like I said, Kyle doesn't play them.
Get a mid-tier vet in here, kind of like what Darnell Moody was for the Falcons or something. But yeah, I mean, we're seriously just going to keep spending on wide receiver. It's Kyle's. He can't help it. It's his position. Yeah, and we're not good at it. Isn't that bad? We're not good at it.
Yeah.
Debo was awesome, had an all-pro year. Ayuk had a second-team all-pro year. Like, those were hits, but yeah.
This offense is missing Brandon Ayuk as well. That's one of the issues. They are missing Brandon Ayuk. And I know that fans, it's hard to think, what do you mean? Like, he didn't do shit when he was in, right? And I understand that. But when you watch those games where he was in versus now, right, teams who had to account for Brandon Ayuk, and that helped the offense overall. Because even if Ayuk wasn't getting the ball, he was taking resources away from the defense to let other players, you know, open.
He creates space everywhere.
He creates space. Yeah.
Juwan Jennings has been awesome in that X wide receiver one role. He's covered every play. He makes the play whenever he's covered. Mm-hmm. But like, now you have to throw a contested catch and Juwan Jennings just freaking alpha males, whatever else. But there's no space. Like, the still shots are, dude, 15 is blanketed from a number one wide receiver, still catches it, or number one corner, still catches it, still fights for it. Like, what he's done is unbelievable. And I think that is, look, you've shown you've undervalued this guy, but he's not a true X. He's just playing way above his pay grade. Mm-hmm. And you're right. There's just no space out there.
And
the one guy that's creating space, you're not throwing it to, and that's Ricky Pearsall, who is getting open, by the way.
Yeah. And defenses don't have, feel like they don't have to defend the.
He runs a 4.8. He runs a 4.8. You do not have to put shell coverage over the top of Juwan Jennings.
Yeah. No, nobody really threatens the defense down the field on this team right now. There's nobody that you're scared
Chris
of.
Chris Conley was the one guy they threw deep to this past week, right? He's the fastest wide receiver. Yeah.
That's scary.
Maybe Cowing, but he can't line
Cowing
up.
Cowing is the fastest wide receiver.
Blocking is the issue there. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Won't put him on the field. So Jake Brendel broke John Chapman. That's what it took. That's what it took to turn John Chapman into Al Sacco.
That is factually correct. That is factually correct.
Oh, man. All right, well, Chapman, we appreciate the time, buddy. We always love having you on. And again, Saturday, Rec Room in Buffalo, and then you guys are having the tailgate. Can't wait. It's going to be fun. I hope people listening to the show are going to be there. Come up and say hi. Again, I'll be there. We'll be doing giveaways
big,
and stuff
big
like
big guest.
That.
I know.
John
I'm Chapman pumped,
secured
man.
A huge guest in Al Sacco.
Al Sacco.
I'm sure there might be one person there who knows who's going to know who I am. But I'm going to have free shit, so people will like that regardless. So
There we go.
It's all
you
good.
Come bearing gifts.
All right, so John, we appreciate the time. We appreciate everybody for listening. Like, subscribe to both our shows. For Brian and John, I'm Al. Thanks, everybody.
Later.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.